close your eyes. Unless you're driving, for Pete's sake, Priscilla, eyes on the road! Now imagine being in a crowd with 3,000 women screaming, dancing, and jumping up and down who share your values. Music is bumping. The lights dim. The bass shakes the entire building. It's starting. You are at Turning Point USA's Young Women's Leadership Summit, the biggest conference for conservative women of all ages in the country. And you're about to hear from the biggest names changing culture today, like Candace Owens, Riley Gaines, Erica Komazar, Holistic Hilda, Ali Stuckey, and more. Now, these names, by the way, are only the first batch to be released. The heat will continue to turn up. And I want you to remember me warning you about this. This is the best lineup we have ever had. Period. It is about to be a fight for seats. Take the freaking plunge, bring your baby, bring no one, make friends there, and trust me, you will. I did my first year. I didn't know a soul going, completely changed my life, and now I work for Turning Point, so see how cool God is? The Young Women's Leadership Summit is June 7th through 9th in San Antonio, Texas. You can get 25% off your general admission ticket with code Alex at YWLS2024.com. Remember, more names, huge names, being announced very soon. Space is limited. YWLS2024.com with code Alex for 25% off general admission. See you in June. This week, I am interviewing the youngest guest we've ever had on the show, but don't let her age fool you. This 18-year-old senior in high school is on a mission to flatten the curve for cancer cases for Gen Z by 2040. And her plan is to do that by exposing big food and the role that it's playing alongside big pharma to keep us sick, weak, and helpless. She made a free 25-minute documentary called Cancer, a Foodborne Illness, which debuted on X a few weeks ago. It already has over 4.3 million views. I saw this, it pops up in my algorithm. I watch it, I'm blown away. It is so well done. And this high schooler is talking about the same things that I'm passionate about as a 31-year-old. She even interviews some of the same upcoming guests of The Spillover that you have to look forward to this summer. It is honestly one of my favorite new food documentaries. And when I saw this doc, I told my team, I was like, I have to have her on The Spillover to discuss not only what she discovered is driving cancer rates in the United States, but what is being covered up, who's doing it, and how to get other young people motivated to take down big food and big pharma. She's already been on Fox News talking about this, and I don't know if you've noticed, all of a sudden Fox is doing tons of stories on big food. Culture is shifting. If you listen to this show, you've been at the forefront of a movement. This is an episode that you are going to want to watch over on the Real Alex Clark YouTube channel. My team and I, we were like speechless. How well-spoken she was for being a teenager, how much she knew. We learned things from her we'd never heard. It was just a phenomenal interview. I can't wait for you to hear it. We just hit 300,000 subs on YouTube and are growing. If you haven't subscribed to Real Alex Clark on YouTube, do so, because I post tons of content, not just Spillover episodes. Being able to interview interesting people like this who are changing culture is made possible with donations from cute conservatives like you. The Spillover is produced by a nonprofit, so tax-deductible donations from you help us afford equipment, interview guests in person, and pay a staff of cameramen and women and editors to make a smooth and beautiful production. Give today with the link in the description, or leave a 5-star review if you can't make a financial commitment at this time. Please welcome science-based investigative journalist, documentary filmmaker, and high schooler, Grace Price, to The Spillover. Grace, tell me about the first time you learned how evil the food industry was and how it changed your life forever.
It kind of started for me when I first was shown the documentary Fed Up by my parents. So I would say I was in like fifth grade, and it was the first time I had ever really heard about this whole obesity crisis that we are facing as a country. You know, specifically in teens across America, they're struggling with being overweight or having obesity to the point where they have to decide some really hard things and go through bariatric surgery and all these different kind of scary times in their lives. And honestly, after seeing that film, I got really freaked out. And it was the first time I ever also kind of differentiated sugar from food, because they talked a lot about how sugar is something that actually is really connected to this disease. So that was interesting to me. And so then I went on actually in my middle school to do like a small little TED talk where I measured out how much sugar was in a Coke in front of everyone in my class. And they hated me. They were like, who is this girl trying to tell us like not to drink our favorite soda? And I was like, hey, don't shoot the messenger. I'm just here repeating something that I thought was so cool. But you know, a couple of years went on and I didn't really touch all of the health stuff that I had up until I was in my sophomore year of high school. And so after losing my grandpa Hank to the disease, I started to ask questions because I had never really had a run-in with cancer in my life until he got it. And so I was really curious and asking doctors like, well, so why did he get cancer? He seemed like a pretty healthy dude. Even though he was older, I was like, it didn't really make sense. And they were like, well, you know, I mean, it's kind of just random and genetic. And I was like, well, what do you mean by that? Like, does that mean I could get it? And they were like, yeah, I mean, if you have the genetic disposition for it. And I was like, but so it's not possible to prevent it, because it all went so fast when he got it. It was like he was diagnosed. No one had an explanation for why. And then he passed away. That was it. It was in the span of like 3 weeks. And so it really, really confused me and frustrated me that everyone kept saying the same answer. And it wasn't like they actually really understood nor believed it that strongly either. They just were kind of saying it because that's what you were supposed to say.
What was the family dynamic for you growing up? I mean, were you in a super health conscious family? I'm assuming if your parents showed you Fed Up, which is my favorite food documentary too.
It's so good.
So I saw that too and was blown away. But if they were showing you that, I'm assuming your parents were pretty healthy.
Yeah. So my parents, I'm very lucky. They're both pretty health conscious. My dad is the researcher of the family. You know, he always encourages me to dig deeper. I think I figured out something out and he's like, Grace, look into it more. And I'm like, okay. And so then I go back for more. But my mom, on the other hand, she is really, really deeply involved with the body and fascia. And she owns her own deep tissue massage company called Austin Deep, where she basically built it from the ground up and she helps heal people by bringing oxygen to their muscles and stuff like that. I mean, I honestly think that my school is the number one thing that really got me going on this research deep dive that I did into the connection between food and cancer. Because like I said, after all of the craziness with my grandpa, I just decided I kind of wanted to focus my high school years on this. And so I go to a really unique school in Austin, Texas called Alpha High, where we spend 2 hours in the morning doing all of the core subjects. This is like math, reading, science, you know. And then that opens up time in the afternoon to do life skills in the K-8 program or in high school to actually do a really ambitious real world project. So I was like, okay, let's see if I can figure out a cure for cancer very casually. And so I decided that's what mine was going to be. I was going to flatten the curve of cancer cases for my generation. And I was going to be the one to figure out how we can really fix this disease for us. And so I started where I was most familiar, which was just PubMed papers, because that's what I had read after enjoying AP biology so much. I went really deep into that and would do my own like self-diagnosis things. You know, everyone's gone down that rabbit hole, but I continued to read and I was reading some really crazy stuff.
Like what?
I mean, I think one of the first papers that really shook me is it said that most cancer cases, 90 to 95% of them are caused by lifestyle or environmental factors. So that in of itself blew my mind, because I would have thought it was the opposite and that genetics caused like 95% of it, or at least like a random genetic mutation that you're born with, like the BRCA gene or something. When I read something like that, I was like, okay, there's something more here that I'm missing, doctors are missing. And honestly, a lot of the information that is most widely pushed out into just like our kind of atmosphere is also missing that. So I decided to keep looking into that and post my findings on X, because at my school with this program, we call it our Alpha X program, we're encouraged to also build audiences and not just create in the dark.
Why? Why is that important?
The reason why an audience is important is because if you spend all your time, you know, I was spending all this time reading papers and stuff like that, and then I finally found something out or wanted to get into a lab somewhere or do a super cool podcast talking about all of this, no one would know who I am, nor would they really care. I mean, I'm just a random teenager. I had zero credibility, but I was doing a ton of research every single day, and I wanted people to kind of know who I was and what I was doing.
Are you dumb? No, actually, if you are still using crap and Vommy Works, you might be. I would truly rather be waterboarded than be forced to put that stuff anywhere near my body. Formaldehyde, pesticides capable of changing the levels of estrogen, a risk factor for the development of breast cancer in women, dioxane, known to cause cancer and birth defects, siloxanes, which impact fertility. There are like 12 poison ingredients. I could go on and on. The point is, your shower should be relaxing, not scary. Switch to my favorite body wash, hand wash, and lotion brand, Alevia. Alevia is organic, prebiotic skin food that feeds your skin's microbiome. Completely non-toxic, non-GMO, using 10 or less ingredients that you know and can pronounce from land and sea. Alevia isn't just body wash. It's helping your skin's microbiome repair and heal faster, which is why people with severe skin issues or scarring love it. The hype is so real. Since switching, I've never looked back. I love them so much, I basically held them hostage until they agreed to let me talk about them on the show. Go to Alevia.com and use code Alex15 for 15% off. That's Alevia.com with code Alex15 for 15% off. Find everything in the show notes. So this school, I want to take a second to talk about this school because this is very interesting to me. I've talked a lot with my audience about just the problems with the public school system, how your child likely has something that they are very interested in, passionate in, that could potentially end up being what they pursue for a career. But there is no time in the school experience, in a normal public school experience, to pursue those passions or grow those skills. So if you're getting done, which is exactly what I've talked about in my homeschool episodes previously, at this school, you have 2 hours to get done, you know, to get all of the core stuff out of the way so that you have the rest of your day to pursue other things that you're interested in. You're spending time diving into this subject. And I think this is cool, but they're telling you, like, you could spend all of this time learning about something, but if you have nobody to tell it to, what's the point? So they're teaching you what, social media literacy?
Yeah, I mean, we literally have a workshop. We have two different workshops, both of which are my favorite. One of them was where we learned how to use AI, because our school goes by the slogan where if you're not using AI, you're falling behind, and that it's the number one tool that we should be using right now to get ahead, especially as kids, because we can now, and it's the future. So, I mean, I don't know how to make a documentary, but I sure as heck used AI to help me figure out the whole process for that.
Wow. Wait, yeah. So AI helped you make this documentary? Because I was wondering that. I'm like, how did you know how to edit so well? I mean, all of these things. I'm like, were you also in free time learning how to film and edit? Like, because this is crazy to me. This documentary is so well made.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. I mean, I did. Well, so what I ended up doing is I first created my own trailer, and I realized I wasn't the best editor, nor was I the best person for filming. So I was like, okay, I need to hire a crew and an editor who I can basically sit next to and just like kind of work the whole thing out for. And so I did exactly that, and I learned the whole way through how to do everything, and it was such a fascinating process. But I mean, I used ChatGPT to learn, okay, so you actually have to do this in the script, and you send this to then the production company, and then they know to do that. So AI totally helped me get there. And then the second one is you have to have distribution for your product. So just to give you a little bit better of an idea of my school, as freshmen, we basically declare our one-liner, which is like what we want to spend the next 4 years doing. And so mine was that I wanted to find a way to prevent and cure cancer through the connection between food and epigenetics, which is just how our lifestyle impacts our DNA expression and also just metabolic health in general. So like our mitochondrial health. And so that was mine, but there's a wide range of them. My sister's is that she's going to create the first Broadway musical by teens for teens. So totally wide range of things. You know, we've got people interested in science and alternative education, Broadway musicals, teenage dating app. We have a girl creating that. So wide variety of things. But the thing that we all have in common is we all created a super, super ambitious project with goals of millions of followers, millions of dollars made by creating an app, all these kinds of things. And then we create the distribution for it. So, I mean, when you look at people like, I mean, I always use Kylie Jenner as an example, but she's never really paid for advertising once in her life because yeah. She has her own audience. And in the age of information, when we have the ability to, one, create these products because we're given the time in the afternoon, and also basically be our own advocates for them by building our own audience, you're not limited at all as a teen. And so that's why I feel like the normal education system has failed us so badly, because teens have been told their entire lives, no, you just need to graduate to the next grade. That's literally the goal. It's get the passing grade on the test. And let alone when you study for the test, you're not actually learning. You're just learning how to properly guess correctly, basically. Yeah. And then you just move on. And you're so overworked with homework and stuff like that, where it makes no sense, no sense at all. And that's why I left the system. I couldn't handle it.
You're 18. You're on a mission to take down big food. What does the average American not know about food and pharma in this country that they should?
You know, I think that the main thing is that food and pharma have a massive impact on everything that we are told regarding dietary advice and guidelines, which is super unfortunate. I mean, one of the reasons why I think that people get so confused when it comes to nutritional information nowadays is because you have these conflicting points of views. It's like one day you hear red meat is bad, the next day you hear it's super good. And I would always be like, why is that? And it wasn't until I learned to look at who funded studies and who would benefit the most based off of a conclusion drawn that I really began to understand it's all dictated by the money that these companies are pushing, which is really unfortunate considering that a majority of these big food conglomerates, their best interest is you eating their food, which is ultra processed, filled with chemical preservatives, chemical additives, you know, and this includes like dyes, emulsifiers, stabilizers, seed oils / vegetable oils, which we already, we'll talk more about that later, but we know are not great for us. And then tons of refined added sugars. And all of these things are addictive. They've been linked to chronic disease, even though you don't see a lot of that online. And they make up greater than 60% of our diets.
But you know what's frustrating is that despite knowing all of that, Grace, they're telling us, well, you're just not moving enough. It's the exercise, right? And that's what they explored in that documentary, Fed Up, which, you know, inspired you to kind of go on this lifelong journey now of looking more into this. And then that's my favorite food doc too. So that was very eye-opening to me. Because a lot of people feel a lot of shame over that. Like, well, I'm not moving enough. But then they're still heating up Hot Pockets.
No, it's so frustrating. And I mean, I was in a cycle like that as well. I think every teen can relate to the experience where, well, first off, like when we're born, they first give us baby formula. And the number one ingredient in there for fat is these polyunsaturated fats from seed oils.
Yeah.
They're oxidized. They stay in our cell membranes. So we are then dealing with this chronic inflammation from the day we're born. And we were made to deal with acute inflammation, not chronic. And we already know that chronic inflammation is a hallmark of cells to become cancerous. So that's one thing. And then whenever we're, you know, in kindergarten, we're doing soccer practice, moms hand out Gatorade like it's no big deal. Capri Suns at every single birthday party. You wait in line on Fridays at a school lunch to get Bluebell ice creams. That's a special thing they do on Fridays. Whenever you're in high school, it gets even worse because we know teens across America are suffering with non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. We're pre-diabetic. 1 in 5 of us are obese. And we are so stressed out of our minds. Mental health disorders have gone up like crazy.
What is causing teenagers to see fatty liver disease? Non-alcoholic fatty liver disease?
What's really interesting about that is I've actually been reading a lot about this recently, but when you look at our consumption of high fructose corn syrup and just fructose in general, it's increased a lot in the past 50 years. Professor Lustig has incredible work on this, but when you digest it, it has basically the same hepatic effects, so effects on our liver, as alcohol does. So non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, I mean, when you see that it's increased, these kids, they're eating all of these things with high fructose corn syrup since the day that they're born. And then they're developing this disease early on because they're basically being given alcohol without the buzz. It's crazy.
I've never heard that before.
That's one of the things that I've been looking into for that, because I was like, why non-alcoholic? It's all these different diseases, you know? But then even the mental health disorders. I mean, Dr. Chris Palmer wrote incredible book, Brain Energy, where he talks about this. And really, we should be looking at how mental health disorders are metabolic health disorders.
Yeah, go into that a little bit, because it has to do with your gut a lot of the time.
Totally.
What's going on in your head,
yep.
Right?
Our gut microbiome, and most importantly, our mitochondrial health. And I think a lot of people separate our brains from our bodies, but it's just such a disservice to do that, honestly.
What is our mitochondria?
Our mitochondria is an organelle in our cells that a lot of people, I mean, in high school, every high school biology class, they say it's the powerhouse of the cell. That's what it's referred to. But basically what it does is whenever you consume food, the glucose from that food is then used as energy and produces ATP, which then runs a lot of different processes for the cell. So it's super important that our mitochondria are kept healthy. But the issue is we're kind of putting them under this state of constant stress whenever we eat all of this sugar all the time, or these inflammatory foods like seed oils, or, you know, these chemical additives or preservatives. Whenever they are dysfunctional, bad things happen, you know. And so it's just it's very abstract, though, and it's hard for people who aren't really as well versed, you know, in like high school biology to really care about their mitochondria. But what's interesting is all these diseases that they blame as genetic to basically make you believe you have no control over actually are way more metabolic. And that's what I think is so fascinating too about the fact that you see an increase in all these diseases and you see an increase in these foods, and you're like, what could the common factor B, you know, because these diseases do increase risk for one another as well. Like obesity, people recognize as a precursor for diabetes and that kind of stuff. But metabolic health, I mean, no one talks about it, and it kind of is behind all of it. So it's a really interesting topic.
Oh, look at that. Is it coffee time already? I'm excited to share with you something new and different that I've actually never heard of before. Infrared roasted coffee. I didn't know this, but every coffee out there, no matter what brand you drink, is what they call conventionally roasted. This basically means that the beans are subject to the flames and fumes, which is why almost all coffees are bitter tasting and actually acidic. Infrared roasting keeps the flames away from the beans in this proprietary process, which makes for not only an incredible taste, but low to no acid. But that's not all. Our new sponsor is the Patriot Red Coffee Company. And not only do they use this infrared roasting process, they're a conservative, patriot-driven company that is giving a full 10% of their sales back to conservative causes and initiatives. I'm being told that their red special version also blends in the coffee fruit itself. Did you know that coffee beans come from a coffee fruit? Well, it turns out this fruit has a very high antioxidant value and is really healthy for you. And they actually put it back into the ground coffee. If you'd like to try Patriot Red Coffee, they're offering to send you a couple of samples in their cool little single-serve pour-overs. All you have to do is pick up the shipping. Go to patriotred.com/TPUSA and the code Alex, where you can get free samples or get $10 off your first order if you want to just go ahead and buy a bag. They even have K-Cups. That's patriotred.com/TPUSA and code Alex for free samples or $10 off your first order. Find everything in the description. Cheers. One of the interviews that you did in your documentary that I thought was really interesting, you talked to this guy, Dr. Thomas Seyfried.
Yeah.
He says that the current idea that cancer is a genetic disease is based on ideology, not sincere science, which is a pretty shocking statement. But he goes into that metabolic health, right?
Yeah.
Could you explain that? Like, what does that mean, that cancer is more of an ideology?
I think it's that people believe it's a genetic disease when we really don't have that rigorous of evidence now when compared to cancer being a potentially a metabolic disease. So those are the two theories. One is that you get this cancer because of genetics and random DNA mutations that could be caused by environmental assault. Or you get it because, you know, you have poor metabolic health, your mitochondria become dysfunctional, and then that kind of causes the cell to become cancerous, start dividing rapidly. And most importantly, with the metabolic theory behind cancer, they talk a ton about the Warburg effect, which is that cancerous cells have a huge appetite for sugar, way more than a normal cell. And so whenever the mitochondria becomes dysfunctional, the cell then falls back onto glycolysis, which is basically, you normally use this whenever your cells are running low on oxygen, like glycolysis, and then, you know, lactic acid fermentation is something that we can do. So like when we're working out, you have a lot of lactic acid that builds up in a lot of your muscle cells. But when a cancerous cell forms, you have the cell falling back onto this when you have tons of oxygen available. It's not like this is becoming a low oxygen environment, which makes it seem like it's very much connected to the mitochondria being insulted in a way, which goes back to what we talked about earlier with, you know, eating all this sugar. And so what's so interesting about Dr. Seyfried's theory is that he basically is working right now to develop treatments where you can reverse cancer with the ketogenic diet or a low carb diet, where you kind of lower your intake of glucose and you starve these cancer cells, and then you hit them with, there's also some cancerous cells use glutaminolysis pathway, which you then have to like target that with a drug. So this is his press pulse treatment that he's kind of theorized and developed, but it's so fascinating. And I've actually met some cancer survivors who have used this treatment and it totally worked. Like people with stage 4 glioblastoma, which is a super aggressive tumor.
Why is it in big food and big pharma's best interest to ignore and not acknowledge this idea that cancer is a metabolic disease?
The answer is really sad. And it's one that I kind of came to conclusion with after reading all of this, even though I didn't want to, and it's that it's just most profitable. And I mean, especially teens being sick. I mean, we are like the best target for them if they want to make the most money. The more of us that are sick, the more of us that are addicted to their foods, the more of us that are being handed things like SSRIs and given Ozempic, like it's candy. That's good for them. It's really, really messed up that that's kind of where my generation is going and why I'm so committed to kind of changing the entire narrative for us, because I do not want the next 30 years of our lives to be filled with preventable cancers and other chronic diseases that we could fix right now. It's really messed up. And I think that the number one reason why it's so hard for people to understand that food is a connection to cancer is because these ultra processed foods and sugar are not treated the same as you would treat alcohol or cigarettes, which no one denies that cigarettes are connected to lung cancer, right? But it took us 30 years until the industry and people caught on to that. And even doctors were recommending Camels to patients, you know, saying it's okay. The cigarette industry tried to keep this information hidden from people, and people were addicted. So of course they want to hear that what they're doing is okay. The last thing an addict wants to hear is like, you might want to stop with that, you know? And so I think right now when it comes to sugar, we are at the stage where we're fighting the industry. And that's what I feel when it comes to me like publishing these kinds of things online in my documentary. I mean, I talked about releasing it on X. I was so scared I was going to get censored or have, you know, one of these big food places reach out to me and be like, hey, you've got to stop, because they really do have a lot of power over everything that we believe nutritionally right now.
The other thing that I think is really hard is that when you talk to people about ultra processed food, I always describe it as dead food.
Yeah.
The problem is that it looks like food and it tastes like food. If I were to hand somebody a piece of cardboard, they'd be like, well, I'm not eating that. That isn't food. It's the same thing, but it's a mind trick. And so it's like getting people to overcome this, what it looks like, what it tastes like, to understand that it is truly poison. What do you think about Ozempic?
It is just another way for the pharmaceutical industry to keep us from addressing the root cause of obesity and other health crises, which is we have to eat better. It's so hard to convince them to not eat these foods.
Well, they just started testing it on elementary school age kids.
Yep. It's totally sick. I mean, they're drugging us kids, but parents are like, oh yeah, go ahead. You know, it's fine. In my mind, it adds another thing to the list of doctors, something that doctors will address and recommend to kids before a lifestyle change.
Do you know anyone your age that's on Ozempic?
I don't have any friends who I know that are on it, but I mean, I've heard stories and I've been updated on the news, and it's so frustrating. And what I hate most of all is that it also plays into this whole let's normalize obesity thing, but then let's also like try to get rid of it at the same time. It's a really weird kind of like counter environment.
Well, if you're on this drug for decades to keep the weight off, and the weight is off, so then you feel like, well, I'm skinny, I can eat whatever I want. These people are continuing a lifestyle of eating primarily ultra-processed food. And then whatever the ultra-processed food is doing, you know, wreaking havoc on their body because they're not fat anymore. They don't see an outward sign that things are wrong. And then it's like a couple decades in, what are you going to find out this food has done to you internally? Because of what you're saying, we're not addressing the root cause of the problem, which is the food.
It gives like a false notion that you're healthy now just because it changes your outward appearance.
Big food is passing the blame over again so that nobody is pinning the problems to their food.
And it's happening right now. And you're so right. That's exactly what it is. It's going to continue under the surface and people won't know. So I'm very concerned about that right now.
I know that making this documentary, you knew a lot of it. And then you were just, you know, putting it in a way that other people could hear it for the first time. But there must have been something while filming that surprised even you that you learned.
Every interview I did, I felt so lucky that people agreed to do it. I mean, I'm such a big fan of Dr. Kate Shanahan and Dr. Thomas Seyfried's work. And even Callie, I mean, Callie Means has been a huge mentor for me. I mean, I guess one of the craziest ones for me was what Dr. Seyfried said in the very end when he talked about how we normalize kids when they develop cancer, you know, going and getting chemo and going and doing radiation, all of these standard treatments. And we think like that's totally okay, you know, that they're like getting surgery, losing their hair, getting sick, their immune system. These drugs that you're given as a cancer patient are so brutal on your immune system, you know, totally hurts your biome. But it's like accepted as normal. And I had never thought of it that way, that we're literally brutalizing kids with this treatment that we don't even know if the science supports anymore. Sure, if it's genetic, maybe this is the way to go. But if it's metabolic, why aren't we helping them with a way that's not invasive and addresses the root cause that'll make them healthier as a person in general?
Let me tell you about my recent facial nightmare. This esthetician, very sweet and well-meaning, I'm sure, was insisting that I had oily skin, that I needed some $400 salicylic acid serum, and it was going to be the game changer that I needed, and that my whole life I have been wrong to think I was dry. Now, this was extremely confusing to me. I told her, look, okay, I'm in my 30s. I'm pretty sure I am dry. I would know by now. But she was so dang convincing, and you know what? I bought the serum because I hate confrontation and people being mad at me. So, of course, I was right, and she was wrong. My skin got so screwed up from this, drier than ever, peeling, just horrible. My makeup artist was like, what the heck have you done to your face, Alex? So I returned the serum. I got my money back, and I told them, that girl needs to find a new calling, for one. And also, I am going back to using my Nimi skincare because nothing has ever worked better for my dry skin. Luxury modern skincare without the insane price tag, okay? Conservative owned. Products for all skin types, dry, oily, or aging. I love using products from the vitamin C and hydrating lines. I'll never stray from Nimi again. NimiSkincare.com with code Alex Clark for 10% off. That's NimiSkincare.com with code Alex Clark for 10% off, or find the link in the description. What some people might be thinking hearing about this, you know, cancer isn't genetic, it's a metabolic disease, this kind of stuff. What might be hard for some people to process is, well, then how do you explain somebody who's never smoked in their life getting lung cancer?
Yeah.
You know, what would your answer be to people that have that thought?
Yeah, no. And I do believe that there's definitely a lot of cases that do come from genetics and stuff like that. But I think that my main focus is kind of this huge spike that's happened in my generation, cancer cases specifically. I mean, when you look at data, they've risen by 80% in the past 3 decades in people under the age of 50.
I know 3 people right now that have that are my age that have recently had cancer or currently have cancer. In 30s or younger.
It's colon cancer, breast cancer, pancreatic cancer, you know, all of these cancers that we actually have a lot of evidence supporting their connection to our gut microbiome, the amount of sugar we consume. So it's so fascinating to me as well that no one's talking about that. They're like, the cancers that are increasing in the generations that have been raised on these foods are the exact ones that we have a ton of evidence connecting them to the very foods that we're eating a ton of.
Were some people hesitant to let you interview them when you said, like, hey, I'm a high schooler making a documentary? Were people like, what?
Yeah, I think that maybe that was like a question in the back of their mind, like, how legit is this? But what I thought was so great is actually when I went to go interview Professor Seyfried, he sent me in an email a whole list of scientific papers published by him that he wanted me to review. He was like, you're going to want to read this before the interview. And I was like, okay. So I did all of my, you know, prep. And when I first went in there, he almost was like, you know, he was asking me questions, kind of testing me to see how much I really knew. But then I guess like I won him over. So then we got to do the interview. But it was, yeah, I mean, I'm just so grateful that they took a chance on me because I totally see how from their perspective, you know, I'm just a teen trying to do this. But like I said earlier, I think because I built an audience on X as well, it kind of did give me a little bit credibility, the people who were already following me, because I really worked to kind of increase my connections in the field of nutrition, oncology, and just honestly with scientists in general to get them to kind of follow me and give me feedback on what I was putting out there.
You had a scene where you go to the Whataburger headquarters,
yeah,
and you're trying to interview people that work there that are walking into the building.
Yeah.
What was their reaction to being asked hard questions about the food that they are serving the public?
You know, honestly, they all were kind of freaked out that I was going up to them. They were like, who is this girl and why is she here? And so I would come up super nicely. I was like, don't seem too, you know, brutal on the outside. So I was like, hi, you know, I'm Grace. I'm a high schooler. Could I film you really quick for my project? And they'd be like, oh, sure, sure. And then I'd ask them, I'd be like, so do you feel comfortable with the fact that you are poisoning my generation and going to be the number one reason why they have an early death in their lifetime? And they were like, yeah, I'm not comfortable on camera anymore. They suddenly were not into it. And so I tried so many times. You have no idea, Alex. I literally was like waiting in their parking garage to get to the people in the reserved spots. I had to get answers. I was like, why won't anyone answer? It's such a simple question too. And surely you think through that if you're at these companies, because it's not like they don't know what, you know, they're putting out there into the world. And I like to give people the benefit of the doubt. So I'm like, okay, sure. Maybe the Coca-Cola advertisement person or head of PR doesn't fully understand the effects of Coca-Cola, but then I'm sure as heck going to be the one to inform them because we have to keep spreading the word.
They kicked you out, right? They kicked you out of the parking lot.
Yeah. They did. The security came. And then we went back again later. And then we got kicked out again. And there were even more security guards. We were like, okay, maybe we should go back.
I thought this was interesting. You talked about how you interviewed a lot of elderly people and you asked them, what do you think the number one cause of cancer is? And they all said smoking.
Yeah.
If they had to pick one thing.
Yeah.
And when you interviewed a group of young people, what do you think is the cause of cancer? Everybody said genetics.
Yeah.
But your point is we have to start talking about processed food,
yep,
as if it's cigarettes.
Yes, exactly. It was so fascinating because all of these elderly people I talked to, they had really sad stories. They were talking about how they had lost their siblings, parents, you know, best friends to lung cancer because they lived in the generation where that was the thing. That was what they all did. And it just really made me so conscious of the fact that I don't want to have the same relationship with my friends when it comes to cancer. And it's so, that's why I can't stress enough that we have to start changing our diets from these ultra processed foods. But it's hard to get teens to care right now.
So let's get them to care. What is one carton of fast food French fries equivalent to?
Well, in my documentary, I talk about this, but a fascinating study done in the UK showed that after going to a ton of different fast food restaurants and measuring the amount of acrolein, which is a toxin found in cigarettes, in a large order of French fries that was cooked in reheated seed oil, it was equivalent to the amount of acrolein in 25 cigarettes.
So a carton of French fries is equivalent to smoking a pack of cigarettes.
Yep.
That is what it is doing to your body.
Yeah. It's honestly a little worse, too, because the half-life of the fats, you know, and them being stored in your membranes and causing all of the chronic inflammation, it just gets really nasty real fast.
Is there a lesson in how we as America really, I think, took down big tobacco and how we should tackle taking on big food? Because I think about how when they aired an ad on TV, they, you know, it was required to have another ad that would play that countered what, you know, tobacco was selling, and how we put warnings on all of the cigarette boxes. And I know a lot of people that are in big food activism, like Callie, like Dr. Mark Hyman, they say, you know, we need to be putting those warning labels on processed food. This might give your kid adverse, you know, behavior problems, you know, attention issues, et cetera. What are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree that we need to keep, you know, advocating for that. But as a teen myself, I do think that it's still even hard to get teens to think like, oh, well, I might get cancer in the future. Every teen thinks they're going to live forever. They think, you know, whatever, this is my favorite. Literally their favorite thing to do when they get home from school is go have their favorite snack.
Panera lemonade.
Oh, my gosh. The charged lemonade. Oh, I can't even handle that. But the lemonade, or having their favorite bar or their favorite chips. Like, we are just so like deprived of any real nutrients. That is what gets us through the day. And we're so sick already. And so it's like, I think that the way to get my generation to care is two things. And I've thought pretty hard about this, and I'm trying to kind of spread this message on my own TikTok now and an app that I'm developing as well. But one, it's to get them to realize that eating good food is cool and makes you feel good. Like, I, just from being a teen myself and having a ton of friends, we don't feel good a lot of the time. Like, we kind of are always tired. We feel like we are procrastinating work all the time. We have acne, you know, we wish we could be fit like these cool Instagram models, but we're not quite there. It's like we have all of these aspirations, and everything that is holding us back from that is with our diet. So when we get teens to realize, like, you know, maybe you don't care about whether you get cancer right now, but I bet you care if you can have clear skin. So why don't we talk about eliminating some foods that will definitely help with that? And I can say for myself, I mean, it totally helped with my own skin when I decided that I was going to commit to a low carb diet and stop eating as much processed foods and sugars and carbs in general. And so I think that's one way. The second thing we have to do is we have to stop normalizing obesity. And that is something that's super controversial, but I have to come out here and say it now because it's just getting so out of hand. On TikTok the other day, I literally saw a dietitian that was saying, you know, if you say that eating cereal or ice cream is unhealthy, you are fat shaming and food shaming. That is what's trending right now. I heard a woman on the airplane today flying over to here saying how, yeah, you know, I saw this one dietitian and she was saying that Cheerios, if you eat them every day and allow yourself to indulge, you create a healthy relationship with food, and that's how you lose weight.
So when you hear that, with all that you've learned, I mean, are you the type of person that are like, excuse me, like, you know, this is kind of crazy. Do you step in or did you just leave it alone?
I think I was a little too far behind her in the airplane where it would have seemed a little creepy if I like came up, was like, excuse me, tapped her shoulder. But I definitely wanted to say something. And so we can't normalize something that is so clearly causing us all to be sick. And most of all, we can't have adults who are supposed to be the responsible ones telling us what is healthy, telling us that the very foods that are making us unhealthy are okay to have. It's honestly such a sick way to make profit, because a lot of these dietitians, I mean, a study recently came out in the Washington Post showing that General Mills literally paid off these dietitians to promote their cereal to teens. That's so sick. These teens are literally struggling with obesity, or they're maybe overweight and they want to get better.
And these mental health issues.
And they're being told that that's the path to health.
Well, I also think there is pressure to be put on the parents, because a teenager is going to eat what's available in the house.
Totally.
If they are hungry enough and all there is non-processed food, they're going to make it work with a banana or some, you know, seed oil-free chips. Like, I love Massa chips, like things like that. Yeah. Those
those items, if that's all there is in the house, then that is what they're going to eat. Now, there's something, you know, to be said when they're driving and you guys are on your own and you're making your own decisions. But the thing is, they'll be able to compare then. If they never have that food at home and then they go out and they decide, okay, I'm going to indulge on Taco Bell, they can really feel that difference of how they feel on that food versus off. And then I think they're going to start making those decisions on their own to avoid that, because they're like, dude, I know what it's like to not be on that food.
I totally agree. And I think that's one of the most motivating factors for me. And also for my friends, I mean, I've had some really encouraging conversations with them where they've said, like, Grace, you know, after talking to you, like, I decided to say no to Sprite at dinner one night, or I decided I wasn't going to have that cookie or whatever it was. And getting to feel what it's like to actually have good energy within you is so powerful. And I think that's why, you know, we've got to go for, like, no, we want to feel good. So let's make some changes for that. And I totally agree. I mean, especially when I see children who are struggling with obesity, I almost always blame it on the parents.
100%.
Because that kid is just eating what their parents put in front of them.
Yep.
They are not thinking about it at all. So yeah, it's a multifaceted issue. I struggle with figuring out how to convince adults to stop eating sugar, you know? So I'm like, I'll take the teens.
Well, your documentary is a great start. It's a great start. I was learning stuff. I mean, I feel like I am consuming this kind of stuff all day. This is like all the podcasts that are my favorite ones to listen to right now are health and wellness. Is who I'm following on Twitter. And so I'm always seeing this stuff. I mean, you came up in my For You page with your documentary. So that's how I found
it.
And I was like so excited. Everything sucks. Every company out there is cutting corners, it seems, thanks to this amazing economy. That was sarcasm. It seems like quality products, amazing customer service, wholesome values, and beautiful packaging are a sign of the past. And that is the case 99% of the time. Except when you get your feminine products from Garnu. This is a conservative-owned, 100% organic cotton period product company who is getting it right 100% of the time. I swear to you, the other day I picked up this box of organic pads from another brand, and the owner says something on the box about how her dead ancestors came to her during a seance and told her to create a period product for bleeding people or something. You know what? Absolutely freaking not. Garnu is a loud and proud girls-only feminine product company. No fragrance, no dyes, no chlorine, no glyphosate, no wokeness, no lib values, no hideous dated packaging, and they're friendly, cool, conservative women behind the scenes that you would want to grab a mimosa with. This is who you're supporting when you get your pads, tampons, panty liners, or period cups from Garnu. Go to garnu.com and use code Alex for 15% off. That's garnu.com with code Alex for 15% off today. GARNUU. Find the link in the description. Something that you said I had never heard, there are similarities between Clorox and Twinkies.
Yeah, specifically in the way that the flour is bleached that's used for Twinkies. It's basically bleached by chlorine gas, which also, you know, when we look at Clorox, you know, there's chlorine inside of that. But when you've gotten to the point where the very food that you're eating is being bleached by that, and there's also, like, I think there's like 37 total ingredients in a Twinkie, all of which, like, are super, super processed just to become that one ingredient that is then preserving this fake food. You can't eat that. But sadly, Twinkies are, I think, a really good example of what ultra-processed foods look like. People just don't realize, you know, because I think a lot of people actually realize Twinkies are bad now, but they don't realize that's also basically almost as processed as some of their favorite granola bars or some of their favorite, like, juices or sodas, stuff like that.
Oh, so talk about the orange juice thing.
Oh, yeah, that was crazy. I mean, I think something that's really shocking, and this goes back to kind of the whole thing where we're just consuming so much sugar now, it's in everything. I used to drink orange juice every morning because I thought it was super healthy. You know, people are like, yeah, great. If you want to get some vitamin C, you know, drink some orange juice and it's from the fruit. The amount that I was drinking has the same amount of sugar as a bottle of Coke. But I thought it was healthy because it was orange juice, but the sugar was literally the exact same amount. And because it's juice, when you actually squeeze all the juice out of fruit, you're losing the bond between the fiber and the sugar. The sugar within the juice causes a massive spike because you no longer have that exact fiber that's slowing the digestion. So then it's actually much worse than if I were to just have the orange.
Okay, so I just saw another person on Instagram Reels talking about this. They said that even if you are fresh squeezing your juice at home, when you are drinking it versus eating it, yeah, like taking a bite of a fruit, the way that your brain like tells your stomach, I don't know how to react to it. You don't get the benefits of it just drinking it.
No.
Like we're losing all the whole point of having the fruit.
All benefit is literally lost, especially when there's like, there's not even any pulp in the fruit. The juice anymore. It's like, it's crazy.
What does your typical diet look like in a day?
So it's definitely evolved over time. But after reading all of this, I decided that I wanted to go on a low carb ketogenic diet. And that basically just meant I wanted to start eating real food again and try to cut out as many carbs as possible, because unfortunately, I think that living in the U.S., carbs are so processed here. Even when you try to eat whole ones, unless you're going to make it from scratch, it's just not worth it in my mind. I mainly just eat a ton of protein every day. I eat red meat. I eat healthy fats, avocados, nuts. And I do eat some like darker vegetables as well. And also tons of berries. But I try not to eat a ton of like tropical fruit either, because I do think it is possible sometimes to like overdo it on the fruit. I mean, when you look at how much sugar is in like an acai bowl,
yeah,
crazy as well. Like you just don't need that if you're trying to keep steady glucose levels in your bloodstream. And I'm not looking to spike in the morning. And so what I found is the ketogenic diet, when I wake up every morning and I eat protein, like eggs for breakfast with sausage or something, I mean, I'm not spiking. So I've steady glucose levels. And when you are on the ketogenic diet, you actually get to run off of ketones, which are so great when it comes to like mental clarity and honestly, just like feeling capable of doing things during the day.
That's interesting. Did you notice any difference in your grades at all?
Definitely higher productivity levels.
Really?
For sure. Oh, yeah. And even like athletic performance. And that's why it's like, how do we make this cool for teens? Because so many kids, all they care about in high school is they're like, I want to get good grades. I want to perform well in my varsity volleyball team.
How do you bring up this stuff to guys? I mean, like, this is my problem.
Yeah.
Grace, so I'm single and dating and I get on these rants about like homeschool and big food and everything. And like the guys are so caught off guard and I'm twice your age. So how do you have these conversations with teen boys who don't know anything, don't care about this? Like, I can't even imagine.
Yeah. You know, it doesn't. I think the way that it goes most of the time is I bring it up and I always try to do a less scientific version, because sometimes I find when I go really hard and, you know, mitochondrial health and epigenetics, they're like, girl, what? But when I just am kind of like, you know, I try to eat healthier and there's a connection between food and cancer, they're like, oh, well, you know, I'm really into bulking. And they always bring that up.
Do they love carnivore diet? Do they love talking about that?
Surprisingly, not a lot of them are on that. And I'm like, well, when you look at testosterone levels in guys, I mean, they're totally dropping at like an all-time low in my generation as well. And I'm like, if you really were into bulking, you should stop eating ultra processed.
Yeah.
You should start eating more red meat. But that's like, that's another thing that I definitely want to try to start getting more into, because I didn't realize so many guys are so interested in like trying to get fit, but they're totally going the wrong way about it. They're like over-indexing on fast food because they're like, yeah, you know, it's all part of the bulk. And it's like, that's not the most productive way to do it.
Okay, so we brought up Massa Chips, which that's so fun that you love them and I love them. If somebody's like, I cannot live without a snack.
Sure.
What are some clean snack brands that you do really like?
I always try to guide people towards like first and foremost the real food version of things, because I do find that a lot of the time snacks are still processed. Even if you get like a keto snack, there's tons of like chemical additives in it. And I'm like, okay, that kind of defeats the purpose of me trying to go on this diet in general, or whatever you want to call it. To me, it's just like eating real food. One brand that I do love is Kettle and Fire. They have incredible bone broth, which is super high in collagen.
I have their bone broth every morning.
Yeah, it's amazing. I drink that like same once a day. We get like huge shipments because my family's obsessed with it. But I also do love, I'm like a huge dark chocolate fan and I really like the antioxidants in it. And so I'm a huge fan of Hue.
Dude, that's we are the same person. The same person. I'm my Kettle and Fire bone broth every morning. I have my Hue dark chocolate.
Yes, literally at night, like that is what I do after dinner. It's my favorite thing. And they even have like Hue dark chocolate almonds and stuff. Like I love those too. And it's great because they don't have seed oils. What's so weird is a lot of seeds and nuts literally have seed oils in them. And you're like, what are we doing? It's like supposed to be just that. So yeah, I do like both of those brands. And then I also just get normal like venison sticks. There's some really easy ways to get protein on the go. Epic bars are great as well if you just want like a great source of protein.
For chip people, I like Boulder Creek brand. Has great avocado oil or olive oil. Tastes just like Lay's chips. You have Rosie's Chips is a seed oil free potato chip, which is great. And then I also like for popcorn, I like Lesser Evil brand popcorn.
Siete is also really great.
Siete chips and cookies. Some Simple Mills crackers and cookies have no seed oil. Some of them do. So you have to look.
You do have to be careful with those.
I mean, I've been trying to talk to my audience, Grace, about how even if you are picking up a thing of peanuts, you have to look at the ingredients. Because sometimes they will say things like canola oil or whatever for no reason. It's like, why is this in this? It's just peanuts. Yeah. Peanut butter, one of the hardest things to shop for.
Oh my gosh, so hard to shop for. But I do love peanut butter. And even then you have to get it with like whole fat butter. You need whole fat butter. Otherwise there's seed oils in your butter because when they remove the fat, you need to be able to cook with it.
I was just visiting my parents and I felt bad for my mom because all my dietary restrictions right now are really confusing thanks to my autoimmune stuff that I'm working on. So I told her basically to be safe, just make me meat and vegetables. She was like, that's it. That's it. So we grabbed some Good Ranchers ribeyes from the freezer. We chopped up some potatoes. I tossed them in olive oil, salt, pepper, rosemary, and parsley. I stuck them in the oven and that was dinner. Meat and potatoes. Good Ranchers doesn't believe that dinner has to be hard to be nutrient dense. Rising prices makes high quality meat harder to find and harder to afford. As I'm sure you've heard, Chick-fil-A has recently lowered their quality of chicken and is going to start allowing antibiotics again. It's cheaper and healthier to eat at home. This month, Good Ranchers is bringing back their price lock guarantee. No grocery store in America or online meat company gives you this kind of protection from meat inflation. Anyone who subscribes using my code Clark will not only get 10% off, but they will also get a price lock guarantee until 2026, okay? So what you pay today is what you are going to be paying for the next 2 years, and Good Ranchers will not change it. Good Ranchers is protecting consumers from not only the rise in prices that will soon hit grocery stores, but also the diminished quality of meat. High quality meat is becoming scarce, which is why prices are going up. Good Ranchers will lock in your price and your peace of mind by guaranteeing quality cuts at the same price that you pay today when you sign up for the next 2 years. They will not change the price. No one can guarantee something like that. Go to goodranchers.com, use code Clark. That's goodranchers.com with code Clark or find the link in the show notes. Good Ranchers, American meat delivered. Do you ever say, okay, today's the day I'm going to have McDonald's. Today's the day I'm going to have a Coke.
I don't like either of those things, unfortunately. But I do have some like favorite desserts. I have some favorite restaurants where I'm totally like indulging if I do that. And I definitely do that occasionally. And I didn't like, it took me a long time to get to the point where I didn't crave processed food anymore. Because like I said, we're addicted. So you have to go without it to realize how much you actually dislike it. And certain things start to taste fake too.
100%.
When you go without it for long enough, they'll start to taste like cardboard. And you're like, oh, I don't really like that anymore. So unfortunately, a lot of my favorite foods before I did all of this, I don't really like as much.
That's good.
They just don't taste as good. But when I was first getting into this, I very much lived by the 80-20 kind of rule where I was like, okay, you know, I'm going to try for 80% of the time to be super good and just disciplined and not eat this processed stuff, but then 20% of the time I'll just go and have some if I want it, you know, if it's a special occasion or something. Because there are some moments where it's awkward when you're like maybe at a house and you're having dinner there and they offer you something and you're like, well, I don't want to deny my friend's grandma of me trying her like famous pie or whatever, you know. It's like there are moments like that where you do need to do it because you're living and it's like that is just kind of the abundance of food that we live in.
But, absolutely. I go the same way. I do the same thing as you. So what is your plan for your career? Is it pursuing a career in film? Is it pursuing a career in biochemistry? Do you want to become a doctor? What are you thinking?
There's so many different ways that I think it could go. And honestly, I've just been playing this by ear. I never would have thought I was going to make a documentary, but I just kind of followed where my research took me. And I was like, okay, I've got to share this with people because my friends were tired of hearing it. So I was like, okay, I need a larger crowd. But yeah, I mean, I have future documentaries I want to make because I barely even touched the surface in mine.
Are they all revolving around big food?
Yeah. And I still think there's way more to do with cancer specifically. I didn't even get to cover, you know, glyphosates and all of the stuff with regenerative farming versus, you know, the pesticides and stuff that are kind of sprayed on our produce. Like, it, you literally can't really eat anything in America in the current state that our food industry is in right now.
Well, you know what's trending? I've been seeing this all over TikTok and Instagram Reels, are the produce sections in grocery stores that, well, you think it's water that they're spraying on the fruit and the vegetables, but it's actually chemicals. Yeah. Even in healthy food grocery stores. So people were blown away by that.
The only place you can really go is like a farmer's market or stuff like that. But yeah, it's working on that. It's also working. I do feel a lot of sympathy and very drawn towards people who have, I mean, my family, like on my mom's side, you know, they lived deep in South Texas, kind of near the border. They came from Mexico, you know, and then they all kind of settled there. And people, when they like come to the country, they don't really like know what is healthy or not. Like, there's not a lot of information out there for newcomers who are just starting to eat the food that is here. And it's like really bad food, you know? And it's in these low-income families where it makes me so sad because the parents are getting it for the kids, but then the parents aren't really informed. And it's also something that's quick and easy if they have a job that they're working at all day. So I really would love to figure out a way to kind of financially incentivize these healthy foods. But when you look at like the number one thing that was purchased with SNAP funds was like soft beverages.
Dude, you know what? When I went to the farmer's market 2 weeks ago, they had a huge sign that said, "We accept SNAP and EBT." And I was like, wait a minute, I didn't
know
this.
Good.
So wait, you can use, I was like, you can, people can use their food stamps at the farmer's market for all this fresh local meat and produce.
See,
and they're like,
amazing.
Oh yeah, people just don't really realize that. So I don't know if that is, you know, that's a Phoenix thing because I live in Phoenix, or if that is happening all over the United States, but you should look into that. And
yeah,
if they don't accept it, find out with your city what can be done so that we can start accepting this here.
Yeah.
So that low-income families can be eating healthier, because
100%.
I had never heard of that before. I never saw it. I was
shocked. That's amazing.
Shocked.
No, I've literally never heard that.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Look into that.
Okay, I will. Yeah.
So they're doing that in Phoenix. I don't know if that's
love
everywhere,
that.
But something worth looking into. You could tweet about that.
No,
okay, so you're 18 now. When you're 30, my age, what do you hope that Grace will have accomplished?
I mean, I hope that I've at least gotten somewhat close to my goal of cutting cancer cases in half for my generation. And I hope that I've also made it very well known that, you know, sugar is the new cigarette when it comes to cancer for my generation, and that we have to start treating it that way. So we need to start seeing change in the food industry and how much of this is allowed. We need to see change in our schools and how much is being served, our dietary guidelines, all of these different things. I want to see change in that. And I, like we were talking about my goals earlier, ultimately, like if I have to be the one to continue to fight to enact that, that's my goal. So whether it's law, lobbying, whether it's getting my generation on board. So expanding onto TikTok and creating my app where they can see how many cigarettes the food that they're eating is equivalent to, when they just like snapshot that. It's so cool. And AI, with AI now, you can literally do that like super easily. So I'm really excited about that. But I had to learn how to code first, but I'm doing that. And then, you know, continuing to do these like film projects also, because I think that like we live in a world where, I mean, everything is so visual now. Like I loved getting to make a documentary, and I do think like short version stuff is super cool too, and investigative journalism, I love that. There's such a wide range, but I want people to know that I'm staying, like I'm not leaving, and this is definitely what I want to dedicate my life to.
So your documentary is called Cancer, A Foodborne Illness. Where can people watch it? Is it only X?
So right now it's exclusively on X, because I just felt that that is where most of my audience resided. And I kind of wanted to just see what it would look like if I just kind of went with everything that Elon's been saying the platform is going for right now. And they're really promoting video content. So I was like, let's do it. Let's just, you know, go all in on X. But I am going to release it on YouTube soon as well. And I'm releasing clips on TikTok. So really, if you follow me at Traveling Jeans with 1G on any of these platforms, you'll be able to get caught up.
And we're going to put the link to Grace's Twitter and watching this in the description.
Amazing.
So it's going to be real easy for you to watch. Watch it with your entire family. I think, Grace, that you are on a God-given mission to change culture. I am so happy that you are on the path that you're on. I think your parents are freaking incredible. I hope that it would be like a dream come true to have a daughter like you. Not even necessarily interested in the subject, but having a kid that has the ability and freedom to pursue a passion like this. And obviously it's a God-given gift that you were given to understand this information and be able to talk about it to people your age. Like, your parents giving you all the tools necessary to be able to pursue this, that's goals to me. So I'm so excited. I think that you're holding Big Food accountable, and I love to see that. So thank you, Grace, for coming on The Spillover.
Thank you so much for having me, Alex.
Okay. I mean, she sold this even better than I could, obviously. How amazing was that? You've got to take 25 minutes this week, watch Grace's doc, Cancer, a Foodborne Illness, with the whole family. It is so impressive. Also, if you're a homeschool family, I really like just the conversation starter of not only what she's talking about, but also the fact that, hey, she is also a teenager and look what she was able to do. The quality of this documentary, it's like a mini Netflix doc. I cannot believe a kid made this. Next week is another big home birth episode. I have one of the most well-known midwives in the country coming on to answer your questions on natural birth. And she was on fire. If you like Grace, you are going to love this girl. To prepare you, you should look up another short documentary on YouTube, which is free. It's called Nourished, and watch that. Now that, my friends, is a hint. The Spillover is back next Thursday at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, anywhere you listen to your podcasts, in The Real Alex Clark YouTube. I'm trying out this earlier time to see what we think. Please leave a 5-star review for this episode. And Grace, that really helps our show look credible to new listeners and also potential guests. I'm Alex Clark, and this is The Spillover. Love you. Mean it. Bye.